Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mouse Ears Podcast, where we talk about all things travel, but mostly Disney. Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys Travel.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's your favorite time of the week. Could be Monday morning on your commute into work or Wednesday evening cooking dinner. It's the Mouse Ears Podcast. My name is Kelton. I'm your host for this episode. I've got some fantastic people with me tonight. First off, Jenny, who was very out of her comfort zone down in Georgia. Jenny, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How you doing?
Good.
Awesome. Steph, who was not in her home in Florida, but in her second home in Disney. Steph, hello, how are you?
Honestly, I'm wondering why I don't live here.
They ain't that the truth? I think we all ask ourselves that
same question. I ask myself every question. Day.
Yeah.
And the man you're hearing now, Brooks, he is back at home in South Carolina. Brooks, hello, welcome in.
Howdy ho, neighbors, welcome.
And to the wonderful people, the Webernet, your sweater, please. It is worth it.
Stand up, so show the people.
Oh.
He's rocking the bluey so tonight cute. For those listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast episodes. If you're watching us on YouTube, I'm sorry. Apparently, we do things backward in our house, and we are spring cleaning in the fall. So here's my office. A mess. Absolutely. So to make sure to help us spread more magic, and if you love all things travel, but mostly Disney, click the like button, subscribe to the channel, smash the bell for your VIP pass to be notified for every new episode. And it's time to move on to, I think, everybody's favorite portion of these episodes. We're heading on over to the new news.
All right, welcome to new news. So Disney's Blizzard Beach is officially open as of November 4th. So, you know, take advantage of enjoying this family-friendly water park this year. Blizzard Beach is so much fun. I love Blizzard Beach. I love it. So also in 2025, Disney Resort guests will get free admission to either Blizzard Beach or Typhoon Lagoon on day of arrival. So this is a deal you don't want to skip out on. Contact your favorite Fairy Tale Journeys agent and they'll get you booked and get you into that deal. It's only for Disney Resort guests. So I think that's an awesome thing. Like, I'm so excited about that. All right, big news. The holidays have arrived for Walt Disney World and Disneyland. So enjoy life-size gingerbread displays, festive holiday treats, drinks, massive Christmas trees everywhere. It's just exploded in Christmas trees. So there's going to be a lot of special events and special ticketed events. So such as one that Steph is going to be attending this weekend, Jollywood Nights. We're so excited about that. So also the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party at Magic Kingdom. So tickets are still available, but they are selling out fast. So let FTJ help you plan the most memorable holiday vacation at any Disney destination. And you can check out these parties. So lots of parties. Yay. And that's it. That was big news. It was a little short, but that was some big news. Holidays at Disney are amazing.
I mean, we love big parties.
We love big parties. We cannot lie.
And the gingerbread houses. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I love seeing all the decorations at the resorts too. So, you know, even if you can't make it to the parks, definitely encourage anyone who can visit, you know, Walt Disney World to check out a lot of the decorations at the resorts. They're beautiful. Mm-hmm. They're spectacular. They have specialty food and drinks and sweets and treats. So there's plenty to experience beyond the holiday parties, which we, of course, recommend because, hello, who doesn't want an excuse to celebrate the holidays?
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all excited. Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for you. I'm very jealous. And I'm only like 4 hours away. And I'm like, gosh, I wish I could come down. But
I don't know if it's worse or better to know that you're so close, because it's like, just come join me.
I know. I wish I could. I wish I could.
Next year, hopefully.
All right. So am I throwing back to Kelton or Brooks? Or are you taking it over for trivia?
I'll take it over for trivia. So,
all right.
Today's trivia question is brought to you by, of course, Magic Candle Company. Next time you want a Disney-inspired scent to fill your home or office, whether it be a candle, room spray, or more, use our special promo code MOUSEEARS for 15% off. That is, without the dashes, MOUSEEARS. For 15% off of any future Magic Candle Company purchase. So tonight's trivia question, we are going with a Hollywood Studios or maybe a MGM Studios question. Ooh. To go with our topic for tonight. So going with the question from the great movie Rod, which Star Wars movie was not in the final set of films in the finale of A Great Movie Rod? Again, multiple choice. You have A, Star Wars, the first one, A New Hope, B, Empire Strikes Back, C, Return of the Jedi, or D, Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Remember, Great Movie Rod went until 2017.
Ooh.
So what movie was not in the final set of films? If you're watching on YouTube, put your answer in the comments and we'll see if you're correct. And stay tuned to the end of the episode to find out the answer. And now we're going back to the host with the most, Kelton, for tonight's topic. Kelton.
Well, thank you, Brooks. Okay, so just like what we did back in the old season 2 of the podcast, we are doing another fantastic top 3 episode. This one, of course, on attractions in what I probably think is an underrated theme park, Hollywood Studios or MGM, depends on, you know, where you fall on that line. If you're,
it's still MGM to me, man.
There are people out there who are still like that. However, before we get to that, now each of us have our own top 3. I'm going to get into it in just a second. Let's do a quick read, or you're going to listen to me read the brief history for Hollywood Studios. So Studios was initially envisioned as an entertainment centered pavilion in Epcot, which I think would have been weird, to be honest with you. I think it would have been weird. Disney's MGM Studios debuted on May 1st, 1989 as the third theme park at the Walt Disney World Resort. Originally, it was both a theme park and a functioning movie, animation, and television studio. Walt Disney Feature Animation Florida contributed to various movies and shorts, such as or from Roger Rabbit cartoons to The Lion King, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, or Dom, depending on who you are. The studio also created beloved Disney films like Mulan and Lilo and Stitch. On its opening day, there were 4 attractions that welcomed guests. We had the Backlot Tour, the Great Movie Ride, Superstar Television, and Monster Sound Show. As the working studio aspect gradually scaled back, additional rides were introduced. In 2008, a sad year for us Disney fans. In 2008, the park's name changed from MGM Studios to Disney's Hollywood Studios. Today, though, it offers 19 attractions for visitors to enjoy, though sad as well, none of the original attractions or the working studio currently remain. What was your favorite original attraction?
I'll say this. What I miss most that I remember from when I was really young was the Sorcerer Mickey hat icon. That to me was just like, that was what I associated MGM with more than anything.
I hated it.
Things, but you hated it? Well, people tell us in the chat, did you love it or did you hate it?
Are you a Mickey Sorcerer hat fan, or are you a Chinese theater fan? That is what the people need to know. That's what we need to know.
I am very curious. Tell us. Let us know.
So I'm going to pick. So, Jenny, what was your – do you have a favorite, original attraction?
I really love the Backlot Tour.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
I loved seeing, the houses and just all of the display, and that you could go by where they were doing costuming and animation. And I really loved the Backlot Tour. I thought that was really cool. And it kind of, it was studios. So it was nice to have studio experience there. Mm-hmm.
That's also where Mouse One was stored for quite a number of years. That was Walt Disney's personal plane. Brooks, how about you?
So by the time I first went to Disney, my first time going to Disney, I've talked about before, was in 2004. So two of the four original attractions were not around anymore. So, it's a toss-up between that Backlot Tour and
they're both good.
I mean, they're both incredible. I will say, though, like, researching everything for tonight, I never knew about Superstar Television, where basically you got to, reading a little bit about it, you got to reenact scenes. That is theater kid Brooks, 100%. And I'll say this too. I remember going and where they had Who Wants to Be a Millionaire game show. That was my jam. I would have sat there all day just playing that. So
your mom would have spent $98 for you to sit there to what? Win one pin. But that
I would have gotten that cruise.
Oh, you were that confident.
So I remember one time we were playing, and it was one. So real quick, if people that don't know about, basically it was like a 30-minute attraction that they'll spend 15 minutes like getting people out and getting people back in. The audience will play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Whoever was the fastest, they get put in the hot seat. But you keep playing because some people get out quick and you have time to try to get back up there. I remember there was one time we did it twice. The first time I was in the top five the entire time. The second time we did it, someone was in the hot seat the entire time, got to the quarter million dollar question, which I think was like they got a two-night free stay or something. The $1 million was a free cruise for, I think, four people. They were like, all right, we're out of time, but just for fun, let's see who would have been up. I would have been in the hot seat.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, nah, I'll stay for the next round. But.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Even though that's not an original attraction, boy,
it's not an original attraction.
Good one.
Yes, it's and I miss stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like the attractions they have now are great, but I miss that. Would have been great to leave something like that, but I know the prior where it was is not there anymore.
It is.
Oh, mm-hmm. it's used for something else.
Frozen Ever After. Yeah, still Frozen show. So, All right. Well, enough about the past. Let's go to the present. What do you say? I think we should.
Yeah.
So all of us, that's Steph, myself, Jenny, and Brooks, are going to give y'all, the listeners, our top three attractions at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Like I said before, much like season two, top three attractions at Animal Kingdom, we're going to anonymously post our choices on Facebook for the people that you guys to vote on. And to vote on who has the best top three. So if you align with any of ours, hopefully it's mine, but any of our top threes.
Hopefully your mom aligns with yours this time.
I'm really hoping. Mother, if you're listening, please do your son right and please pick mine this time.
I purposely did not tell Kelsey my top three, so she wouldn't know.
That's good for you.
I purposely didn't.
Well, I think this one's going to be harder. I think this is going to be a tough one for the people.
There's more attractions. And of course,
the winner will receive a very special prize to be gifted on the season three finale. Here we go. So we are talking about what top three attractions out of 19 attractions. So this includes rides and shows at Hollywood Studios. We are considering three things when we think about the top three attractions, and they are as follows. We want to look at the overall story and theming. We are also looking at the queue experience, because the queue is part of the attraction in some of these. And of course, unique elements. Who wants to go first? We're looking for a number three. Steph is shaking her head, so we're going to go with her. Steph, what's your number three? We'll start with you.
Fine. Okay, my number three.
Come on.
You know, this is tough. I will promise
that. It was tough.
It is tough. So I'm just going to go with, you see, what changed this from my two to a three is the aspect of the queue that you just mentioned, because this would have been my number two, but now it's not. So my number three is Rock and Roller Coaster.
How did that move from your number two to your number three?
Because my number two queue is superior.
Gotcha.
That is the reason, and the only reason. So Aerosmith, spectacular thrill ride. If you're a thrill seeker, this is a can't miss for your time at Hollywood Studios. I have clients who refuse to go to Hollywood Studios, or will move their trip, I should say, to go to Hollywood Studios when Rock and Roller Coaster is not under refurbishment. And yes, it is under refurbishment often, right? The queue, the outside portion, to me, blows. I'm sorry. It is not fun. It is hot. They have a couple fans, but it is just...
Those fans don't blow air.
No.
I think it's true. I think it's like two fans in that whole queue. Yeah, it's horrible.
As I'm saying, the queue aspect dropped it down to a three for me. Love the thrill aspect of it. Love the storyline. It's dark. It's fast. It's fun. Aerosmith. So I just, even like the pre-show portion is fun for me, but the majority of the queue just really isn't it. So did I hit all the three aspects?
You did. You hit all three. That's what we're looking for here on the top three attractions for this episode. Let's go up north here, about the furthest north we can go. Brooks, I'm talking to you, buddy. What you got, number three?
It's kind of weird that South Carolina is the furthest north tonight.
That's because your northern partner is down below you in Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, down where the devil went down to Georgia. Looking for a soul to steal. Hey, I'm from Georgia. I can say that. Okay. So my number three, and this was tough. I think if we were doing honorable mentions, but I don't know if we're doing honorable mentions. But yeah, Rock and Roller Coaster would have been my honorable mention. But my number three, and to me, everything's great about this ride or attraction, because it's not a ride, it's an attraction. The queue is awful. You just stand there. But my number three is, for the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along celebration.
You are right. That queue is awful.
The queue, you just stand there. You stand there at an angle. It is not that great.
At least it's shaded, and they don't yell at you to stand up. So
yeah, true. But
you know, it's a good one. That's a good pick.
You're in air conditioning. You're seated, and yes, it's essentially the same show every time. But the actors will throw in little things. It's like the Jungle Cruise. You can ride the Jungle Cruise every time and get a similar experience, but you get a different experience every single time, depending on the skipper that you have. Frozen, the Arendelle Astorians make that show. Mm-hmm. I remember the last two times we've done that show, we've done it with Ellie. And the first time we were very close, and she was still too young to really, like, she really didn't recognize the songs or anything. It was just bright lights, and she was like, oh. But the historians, they saw Ellie, and they're just like, they kept waving at her, like, I mean, crowd full of people, but taking time to wave at Ellie. The second time, the spot where Olaf is singing about summer, and we talks about being a happy snowman, but it rhymes with another word that we don't want to talk about happens to snowmen in summer. If you yell that word, one of the historians usually gets very angry. And this one, he was like, if you said puddle, raise your hand. And I raised my hand, and he was like, security, get him. And he like looked at me, did this, and I did it right back at him. He's like, and it was just a fun experience. So it's just making it fun every single time. It reminds me I think, just throwing this out there, if they can make Muppets 3D more interactive like Frozen, that would be a number one ride, in my opinion. But my number three is Frozen sing-along.
Very, very nice. I think it's a great pick. All right, Jenny.
Went
down to Georgia. I guess you did too. What you got?
My number three is Toy Story Mania.
Great pick.
So that queue is amazing. However, if you were in the standby line, that has to be the slowest moving line ever in the history of lines. I mean, like, just doesn't move. But the queue is amazing. So many
twists and turns.
There's so many twists and turns, and it's a very tight area that you're in. So if you have never ridden on it, definitely use a lightning lane for that ride. Just trust me. Okay. It's so cool to be shrunk down into, you know, a toy, and you walk in and it's just Andy's room and everything's life size and you're this little teeny tiny thing. And, you know, the games they're fun. They're so much fun. My friend Mel and I, we have an ongoing thing about who's going to win. And it's very competitive. Steph has seen it. It's very competitive between Mel and I. But it's just so much fun. And it's so imaginative that, you know, you get to go and, you know, play with the toys and, you know, do all these fun things. And I like that it's a bunch of different little mini games that you get to play. So it's not like you're just in one, you know, trying to break plates with the thing. So, I love Toy Story Mania. It's one of my favorite rides. It's definitely on my do not miss list. Also, I just want to throw this out there. There are stairs involved in the queue. So if you cannot do stairs, you can let the cast member know, and they actually have an alternate entrance area that you can just go down and around, and it'll keep you on the bottom floor, so you don't have to do those stairs up and over. So just keep that in mind.
Very good.
So I want to just add a little information. I had the pleasure to ride Toy Story Mania in Disneyland. Hollywood Studios Toy Story Mania is far superior. The one in Disneyland was the original one. And Mike and I, when we went, we actually spoke to a cast member that's been there for years and years and years. And he told us how that ride always has something broken. Always. And where I would say that Astro Blaster in Disneyland is better than ours here in Magic Kingdom, I feel like the toy shooting gun thing at Astro Blaster over there, much easier and better to use. The opposite is the, you know, for Toy Story Mania, where our Toy Story Mania paddle shooter thing actually works. Very good, very easy. Where in Disneyland, you're just fighting for your life on that ride. And it's like, if you hit something, it's a miracle. And it's because there is just, the synchronization isn't always there. But Jen, fantastic ride. I'm so glad someone brought it up because, so fun for every age.
No, great points. Absolutely. Absolutely. So moving on, my number three, and I'm thankful that nobody has mentioned it yet, even though we're on number three, but mine is Fantasmic for this one. And so, as we all know, the queue experience, absolutely horrible. It is a long walk up there. However, it can move fast at some point, so that's always good. And that's where that Fantasmic dining package comes into play in the parks. If you don't know about that, let me know. I'd be happy to tell you. But when we're talking about overall story and theming and unique elements, hello, the attraction has fireworks. It has fire. It's got a dragon or the head of a dragon. It has boats that are not on a track. And if you look it up they, you know, collided into each other. So they're not on tracks. And honestly, makes me cry every time. So that's my number three.
And well-built boats if they can crash. Oh, well, yeah. Very well-built. They spare no expense.
They spared no expense, except the big paddle boat is on a track. Just for all So there is
we that. We don't need that one crashing.
No, we don't need that one crashing. So fantastic. Well, we made it through our number threes. Let's move on. Steph, I believe I started with you. So you are up. What's your number two?
My number two is Rise of the Resistance. And yes, the queue made all the difference. Although, for those that are looking for a little thrill, I do feel like you can get a little bit of that on Rise of the Resistance with the unexpected little tiny drop, which is fun, especially when I'm able to go on it with someone who's never been on it. And they don't expect it. Like, oh my gosh, it's so great. But truly, like, that queue is fantastic. I was there when it first opened, and I remember that outside portion felt very daunting. That line tended to have a pretty long line, but I don't know, I just it moves fast. I don't feel like I am just standing in one place forever and ever and ever. And they have plenty of shade and plenty of fans in the outside portion, and it's beautiful, just like the landscape and all the flora that they have, the plants and everything. It's beautiful. It really, really is. And you're just like sequestered in Batuu. Like, you feel like you're in another planet, another world, and it's fantastic. You feel immersed. So that right there, and that's just the outside portion. Then you go inside, and then you have all of these fantastic, you know, museum-like props everywhere. And you have throughout Galaxy's Edge, if you pull up the Disney game app on your phone, it's interactive as well, which is super cool. And people do not talk about that as another form of entertainment, especially when you're in a long queue. And then you've got the pre-show. You've got, what, three different pre-shows basically before you actually get on the ride. It doesn't get any better than that. It's so exhilarating. So, and then the actual ride is just so seamless. I mean, that magnet track is just, it's so innovative. It's anyone can ride it and enjoy it. Just the animation and, oh gosh, the props, those AT-ATs, life size, massive. The shooting guns when you're going through the side panel with the war going on outside, it's really just as far as like the Disney quality, what you expect Disney to create to immerse you, and to make you feel like you're really there. This is top of the line, and I really love that they've created it in a way where it's mostly for everyone. I won't say for everyone because little ones really can't go on it, but it really can be for everyone, whether you're a Star Wars fan or not. I feel like you can appreciate the work that was put into this. So that's my number two.
Solid. Yeah. Solid, yeah. Number two.
Yeah,
thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. I thought about it.
So, Brooks, what you got? Number two, sir.
So I am actually surprised that we have two people with the same number two. So my number two is Rise of the Resistance. I know it's shocking because there's 19 attractions to choose from and we're matching. But my number two is Rise of the Resistance. And it's my number two and number one are a toss up. But it is just, you know, I echo everything Steph said, but it's so immersive. Like, you know, the queue and then the pre-show, and, you know, I don't want to get into too much spoilers for people that haven't ridden it and don't want the magic ruined for them. But I mean, there's spots in that, you know, at the pre-show, because you have the queue, you have the pre-show, then you have the, I guess, preparing, and then all this stuff. But I mean, there's the iconic thing that everyone thinks of in the pre-show when you walk in and you see this. And as a Star Wars geek myself, Kelton, I know you feel me on that, but yes, I cried the first time I saw it. I'll just say that. I cried when I saw the Millennium Falcon for the first time. So, I mean, I'm saying that I'm drinking from my original Star Wars weekend mug with Mickey as Luke. When it was still MGM, man. But not going to get too much into it because everything's been said. Echo it. Rise of the Resistance, number two, fantastic ride. And one thing I will say with Hollywood Studios, because a lot of people say, and they don't sleep, I feel like Hollywood Studios, for me, has almost more can't-miss rides, I would say, than any of the other parks, rides and attractions. Because to me, it's the most well-balanced park, because you have your shows, you have your, you know, thrill rides, you have your, you know, take it easy rides, and then fantastic, the second best, I would say second best nighttime show on property. But I digress.
No, you bring up valid points. Steph, go ahead.
I just want to add one more thing. and I'm sure Brooks will agree with me. One of the best things about the Rise of the Resistance, and I'd argue Batu as a whole, are the cast members. They're so, so involved and really take their roles and their acting seriously. And on Rise of the Resistance, oh my gosh, they have fun. They have fun and I have fun. And it's, I think, again, shout out to the cast members because it's more than just a ride. It's an experience, and that experience couldn't be complete without the cast members. So just wanted to shout that one out.
They don't crack at all.
No. So I mean, the first time ever riding it, I had my DJI camera, which I mean, just, and it looks like something that would be in the Star Wars universe, honestly. And the guy, you know, the Imperial officer was asking if that was a recording device, and I just played along and said, "Like, oh no, I'm with you guys. I'm spying for the." For the Empire. And he was like, really? I was like, yes. And I think Kelsey says something. It's like, no, she sold me out. And it's like, are you sure you want to stay with them? They sell you out very quickly. And I was just like, I agree. I'll be with the Empire. And he's like, well, I don't think we want you. I mean, you're so easily captured. So
that's awesome. No, awesome, awesome number two. Jenny, moving on over to you. What's your number two attraction in Hollywood Studios?
So my number two is actually someone's number three, the Frozen sing-along. I think that it is one of the most underrated attractions. So the queue is, the queue is not, it's nothing special, nothing special. However, the show itself, first of all, it's in the air conditioning. And I appreciate anything that's in the air conditioning for more than 15 minutes. Okay. Or if it's raining, it is great if it's raining. The storyline, though, and that's why it was my number three, but I was like, just the storyline pushed it, because it's not like you're just sitting and doing a sing-along. There's this whole intricate story with the historians, and they do make the show. That is my dream job, to be one of the historians. Like, I just, that's so much fun, and they
make
it
happen,
show.
Jenny. Let's make it happen.
Look, I want to be a historian. I'm just going to put that out there to the Disney universe. I want to be a historian. But also, as you know, a theater nerd, I just love the interactions and the acting and the storyline, because, you know, it's different. It's not like they're just up there with a screen and you sing along. It's very immersive. Several times we have been told that we are, you know, thank you for the Arendelle Dramatic Academy coming out, because, man, we put everything into singing along. you know, and it snows, so that's fun, that indoor snow. But it's good for all ages. It's a really good family attraction, and I think it doesn't get enough love, but it is a fabulous attraction. And it is one of my must do when I go there. And Hollywood Studios is, you know, Disney MGM Studios to me, just because I worked there when it was Disney MGM Studios, and you would get in trouble if you just called it MGM and didn't put the Disney in front of it. There'd be a little bit of a reprimand from a manager. It's Disney MGM. But, you know, the whole park is just fabulous for families. I think it's next to Magic Kingdom. It's a very family friendly area. But the Frozen sing-along, I just love it. It's just fun. It's just joy. It's just, you know, I like how they did the storyline with it, and it changes with the little bits that they put in. And also they have a holiday overlay with mm-hmm. that show. So I'm not going to spoil it, but if you're going during the holidays, you have to see that show because it's very, the ending is very different.
Oh. Awesome. No, another, like I said, another great choice for the Frozen sing-along in Hyperion Theater. So, okay, moving along. So my number two does, you know, kind of bring in all three of these items that we have been looking for, and one that has not been mentioned yet. And I am a little disappointed, so I'll be interested to see what everybody's number one is. But mine is the Hollywood Tower, Tower of Terror is what mine is. So, and a few reasonings behind that. Number one being, okay, half the line isn't the best, but you are kind of on the grounds of the hotel. So there is a little bit of theming and story background with that. Plus, when you get to go inside to the lobby of the hotel, and I know Jenny has done this because she used to work at the attraction. I have gotten to have the opportunity to walk through the lobby freely mm-hmm. when I was a cast member and actually get to sit on those couches. Yes, they are comfortable. Actually, they're actually yeah. comfortable.
They are.
So that's always that. And if you didn't know the little insider tidbit, what the cobwebs are made from, hot glue. Mm-hmm. Which never would have thought that in my life. Yeah. Mind blown. So, and then of course with the actual attraction itself. Hello. What other attraction? I mean, it has a little bit of the magnetic moving thing, which I think started a lot of kind of what the attractions are now. And then, of course, you know, you have the actual, well, it's not really a drop. For those who don't know it, they actually pull you down. You don't actually drop. So it's just the unique elements, as you would say, that go into that attraction and the storyline and all the really coolness. It's just something different. So that's my number two.
I love it.
Great choice. Great choice.
I love it.
Thanks. I appreciate that. It is a good one.
I thought that was going to be Jen's second.
Yeah, I love it. I do love it. But yeah.
So if it's not her number one, I'm kind of sad that it's not on her list. But we'll see. We will see. So speaking of that, it is time. It is time to hear what the four of us think, or what we think is the number one attraction in Disney's Hollywood Studios in Orlando, Florida. Here we go. Steph, we started this entire shindig with you, so we're going to close it out. What do you think is the number one attraction in Hollywood Studios?
Fantasmic.
Oh, son, I am curious of why. Like, why is that number one?
All right. We're coming full circle because if you remember, if you were listening earlier on, I did mention the Sorcerer Mickey hat icon when it used to live and reside at Hollywood Studios. And I've always associated MGM/Disney's Hollywood Studios with Sorcerer Mickey and Fantasmic. I wasn't around, alive, or even a thought when it first opened. However, once I knew what was going on, I've been at Disney since 1996, the year I was born. As soon as I could remember, yes, guys, I know. Revealed my age. I always remembered and associated Hollywood Studios with fantastic. And if you think about it, it's withstood the test of time. You think of Magic Kingdom, and they've had four different nighttime spectaculars fireworks show, right? Or the original, whatever it was called.
Fantasy in the Sky.
Thank you. Wishes, Happily Ever After, and then Harmonious? Was it Harmonious?
Enchantment.
Thank you.
And then back to Happily Ever After. Really,
2.0.
Right. So, but if you look at Fantasmic, it's been there almost since day one. I mean, it's been there for years. And you still get sold out shows. And when I mean sold out, I mean the entire amphitheater is filled from one end to the other. It never gets old. Never gets old. And there's a few things I want to also mention about it. Kelsey, I know you mentioned it earlier on as your number three, but you know, I don't mind the queue because of a few things. One, you're really not standing around for so long. You can either wait in line if you want to, but it's normally at night, so it's not that bad with the heat, first of all. Second of all, once you get in, I love seeing, correct me if I'm wrong with how I'm saying it, the little like flags with all the different characters walking up. I get really like excited about seeing that. It's such a small thing, but it's like the first thing, like, oh my gosh, I'm about to go see Fantasmic. And then the music, the playlist that they have going on while you're waiting. I mean, you can be with a group of friends and family. You're going to like stop at any moment and just start jamming out because that's what you do. It is like, oh my God, I can have say goosebumps.
It's bussing.
No cap.
Hey, let me cook, okay? Just let me cook.
Man, he's got the Riz tonight.
Oh my God.
No, that's that playlist.
Right?
So good.
So I don't mind waiting around and sitting. And after having gone to Fantasmic, watching Fantasmic in Disneyland, yes, I've heard that the one over there technically is better, but the one over there doesn't have seats. Ours is an amphitheater. We have seats that, after a long day at the parks, like no question, game changer, best thing in the. I mean, if you think about it, it's the only nighttime show with seats. You don't get it for Happily Ever After, and you don't get it for Luminous. You get it for Fantasmic. So you get to watch a show that not only is timeless, but you get to do it sitting. And they got great merch. You got food in the amphitheater. So we're talking all these things, and the show hasn't even started. another thing is, I know there's different times of the year where they have two show offerings, which is fantastic. But the second showing typically is after park close. So you don't have to sacrifice going on a last ride to go to Fantasmic in theory. Or like I've done, I'll go wait at the amphitheater with good seats, and then whoever wants to go to a last minute ride and then meet us there, they could do that too. So, and plus you have, as you mentioned, the dining package, which is just a huge bonus. So anyways, that's like what I would consider the queue and the atmosphere. And you got Sorcerer Mickey. He's just magical. He's beautiful.
Love him.
And I love him. Like I love him in his little like popper outfit at the beginning, and then boom, his character arc is fantastic. It's fantastic. You cannot argue that. And you have all the elements of all the Disney classics. And then ever since, you know, they updated it post-COVID, and you've got all the new Disney movies. You've got Moana, representations of Moana and Frozen. I love seeing Moana jump in the water and then play with the water. That Disney magic, I will cry shamelessly every single time. So this timeless show is a can't miss. Like, I cannot spend a day at Hollywood Studios and not end it with that. And it is for everyone. So that is my number one. There is just no competition for me. Nothing. It gets me in my feels. I go through the highs of emotion. I go through the lows of sadness. My favorite part is when all the characters pop out on that steamboat coming around. And then you've got, you know, Sorcerer Mickey shooting fireworks out of his hands. You can't get more magical than that. That's it. That's it. It's a mic drop. Fantasmic number one.
Don't drop Mike.
Oh, hush.
Pick him back up. Sorry, Mike.
All right. No, I'm done with my rant.
And it is another one of those that's very expensive to run. You know, you think, but it truly is. That is a heartwarming of a show.
Timeless. You think about it. All they've done is add to it. They have not changed it because it's that good. Yep. I think it speaks for itself. The only thing that is unfortunate is when, you know, because it's exposed to the elements and you get rained out and that happens.
Like September.
Yeah.
It was so sad.
The most heartbreaking thing possible. Really is just gut-wrenching. But I encourage every single person who ever goes to Hollywood Studios, don't miss out on this. It's the best thing. It'll warm your heart forever and ever. Forever and ever and ever. All right.
Amen.
I'm done.
Thank you, Randy Travis. Now on over to you, Brooks. What you got for your number one attraction in Disney's Hollywood Studios?
All right. So for my number one, consider, if you will, you open this door with the key of imagination. Beyond is another dimension. A dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You have just crossed over into the Twilight Zone. My number one is Tower of Terror. It
fantastic.
Is, yeah, it the queue is incredible. You have, it is literally the icon of Hollywood Studios. It is the only ride of its kind on Disney property. And it's one of those two. It's different every time because they have different drops. And I'm sorry, you can know that drop is coming. It gets you every single time. And it's also one of the only places where I get to feel weightless. And I love that feeling. So it is just... And I feel like it's also a very polarizing ride because there are people that absolutely love it. They have to do it. And I know people, dear friends, that they see that and they're like Kelton with Halloween Horror Nights, just nope. I mean, it is, again, oh, it is so great. And what's nice is, if you're waiting in the line for Fantasmic and it seems like you're waiting for a little bit, you see that magical 13-minute wait time. That magical, just like Haunted Mansion. If you see 13 minutes, you don't walk, you run towards that queue. And again, it's a different ride if you ride it in the day. It's a different ride if you ride it at night. And it was struck by lightning and it still runs. I mean, it is durable. So
Disney magic.
Yes. It, and then also it spawned a fantastic, wonderful World of Disney original movie with Steve Guttenberg, Tower of Terror, which was not I think it was a Wonderful World of Disney which was different than Disney Channel original movies because it aired on ABC and not Disney Channel. I could be wrong in that, but I remember it being on ABC. But we've talked about it. It's incredible. And that is a bucket list of mine to sit on one of those couches. So,
oh, it's fantastic. So, great, two great choices when it comes down to any of these 19 attractions. However, we are coming down to the two ex-cast members here who I can probably guarantee Jenny and I have both been to Hollywood Studios well over 1,000 times in our time of, you know, just within working there. So, and Jenny, yes, especially with you, not just working at studios, but working at Tower of Terror, I am excited to hear what your number one attraction is. So when you're ready, feel free to enlighten us.
I'm going to get comfortable for this.
Would you like a drum roll?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
All right. My number one is Fantasmic. Steph probably saw this one coming.
Nice.
So my time at Hollywood Studios, when I first started there, I worked at Honey, I Shrunk the Kids Playground. This will really date me, really date me. when I went full time, they moved me to Area 3, which is Beauty and the Beast, Fantasmic, Tower of Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster. Back then it was Area 3. I don't know what it's called now, so don't come for me if you're a current cast member. Back then, that's what it was called, Area 3. So I split my time between Tower of Terror and Parade, being on the parade route and doing Fantasmic. So I loved my time at Tower of Terror. Loved it. Loved being in character. Just loved it. And that ride is just amazing. It is amazing. However, I have never had so much fun in my life as when I was working at Fantasmic. I prefer the original playlist that they had. The new one's okay. Like the new one, I like the old one better, but I'm just old school. I cry every time. Stephanie and I have actually sobbed together during a show. Just the way that they weave all of the stories together, and there's fireworks and you can bring food in and they have snack stands, and it's just amazing. It's just amazing. The live action, and then, you know, the walls of water where they're projecting, you know, cartoons on. It's just spectacular. I love it. It gives me the feels every time, just every single time I cry. The boats do crash sometimes. I mean, that's okay. You know, sometimes characters fall off the top rails of the ferry. That's okay too. Poor Ariel, if you don't know this, they can't get her off the back of that, of the big ferry boat. So they just throw a big sheet over her. So it's funny if you're sitting over on the left side.
She also gets hazard pay.
Yes. So it's definitely Fantasmic. I highly recommend doing the dining package. If you have the Disney dining plan, the dining package is only one credit. Keep that in mind. I don't know. There's just something so, so magical about it. And Sorcerer Mickey, like, please just, I just love it. It is a show that if it is rained out one night, I will leave another park early to hop over there just to see the show. So mine is hands down Fantasmic.
Those are three great number one attractions. especially, well, I guess it's really only three people, two attractions.
Yeah.
Not too shabby at all. Fantasmic is definitely has a, you know, soft spot in my heart too. But so I'll bring it up to an end here. My number one attraction for Hollywood Studios is one that has been mentioned already. But for me is Star Wars' Rise of the Resistance. And it's been discussed, so I'm not going to go too deep into it. I got to do it on the cast member preview when that had opened. But I'm telling you, there is just not an attraction that's like it. I mean, Remy's kind of like it, but with the in-depth and detail, and Brooks and I have said, I mean, being huge Star Wars people, it brings everything together. So that is my number one for this. I think we all had great lists. So now you've made it to the end of the episode, so you know what attractions everybody has picked. But I'm excited to see which one of the four of us gets the most votes when it comes to Facebook. So by the time you're listening to this, it already closed anyway, so that part doesn't really matter. So at this point, let's go ahead and move on over back to Brooks for our trivia question answer.
All right, so if you remember our trivia question, going back to the Great Movie Ride, which I'm curious if that ride was still around today, would that have been on any of our top threes? But which Star Wars movie was not in the final set of films in the finale of the Great Movie Ride? We had A, Star Wars, A New Hope, B, Empire Strikes Back, C, Return of the Jedi, or D, Star Wars, The Force Awakens. What do y'all think was the answer?
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens.
You would think that, but you would be wrong. Because remember, it went into, I double checked it. I even watched the final list and... Because I first was looking at it on Wikipedia, and then today I literally watched the final, like the finale, and I was looking and I was like, there's no way this one is not in there, and it's not in there. The correct answer is Empire Strikes Back. It's not in the final list. New Hope is in there, Return of the Jedi, and The Force Awakens.
A hot dog.
The final list.
I didn't know that.
So, God dang.
Great trivia.
Yeah, great trivia.
You stumped us.
Oh, man. We should use that for our trivia episode.
Season 4. We've all lost that one.
Well, folks, that just about does it for this week's episode of the Mouse Ears Podcast. Don't forget to join the Mouse Ears Podcast Facebook group, follow us on TikTok, and give us a follow over on Instagram, the Mouse Ears Blog, to stay up to date with all things travel, but of course, mostly Disney. If you are interested in having a Fairy Tale Journeys agent book your next trip, go ahead and hop on over, visit them at fairytalejourneys.com, and let them know that us at the podcast have sent you. Lastly, if you have enjoyed our weekly episodes here on the podcast, we would love for you guys to leave us a review wherever it is you listen. Until the next episode, thank you, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this top three episode, and we will see you next time. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.